So that was corn. Is my thing on? That was. It's on here.
Just tap it once.
Tap tap, like that. There we go. So it's corn. That's
corn.
I didn't eat before. So.
You're gonna crack a joke.
Tortilla and corn.
Corn chowder and tortilla.
Corn
soup.
Tortilla and clam chowder. All right. Alright, so I'm going to use a clicker here. Let's see if it works. There we go. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to do is show you our new logo for the youth group. We are going to call ourselves Fusion. And the idea is that we're fused together in Christ. So we're united in Christ as a group and with Christ, you know, together and with Christ. Kind of like with the churches. That's the whole idea of our church as well, that we want to be united together in Christ. One of the things that is really important to me for the youth is that we don't wait. It's always said, well, the youth is for the future. One day you're the generation, da-da-da-da-da. And I kind of don't like all that because I don't understand why we have to have them wait. You know, we can be serving God right now. And they should be serving God as a body today. There's no reason for them not to fuse in Christ now. So that's one of the ideas then, is that we seek that purpose now. And I just wanted to also put out there that if you're interested in working with the youth, we've been having people join us that are just helping do things here and there. So let's say you don't have time to, like, wow, I don't want to be a youth leader. Well, that's not necessarily what we're asking. If you just have something that you would like to add, if you have also resources, if you have a cabin in the mountains, for example, or if you are able to help us drive some kids somewhere. For example, we have an event this Friday for the youth, the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to go roller skating. Well, quite often we won't have enough cars or something. So anything that you would like to do, even if it's just something you think, I have an idea, just call me and maybe we could do something. So we're getting more and more people just helping just in small ways, but it all adds up. And so just call me. That would be great if you could do that. Well, I wanted to tonight, you know, I'm a little down on funds, and I'll know Christmas is coming. And so I thought what would be nice would be if I could make a little money, and I hope you don't mind me doing that during the service here, Steve. There we go. Hope you don't mind me making a little cash on the side. You don't, quite frankly, pay me enough, so I got it. I have something for sale here. And so I'd like to sell. It's pretty nice, isn't it? So I got this mosaic here that I like to sell. And it's a real mosaic, so these are real tiles. This is real wood, the whole nine yards there. I think this is walnut, and these are mosaic tiles. So I would like to just see, can you guys see? Let me pull this out of the way just a little bit. There you go. I'd like to just try to get some money for this. How much can I, somebody want to start the bit? I would do my auctioneer thing, but I'm not really very good at that. So maybe, Marv, you got
$5.
Okay, I got $5. Who? Yes.
$15.
Keep going. Keep going. It's all about action. $20. All right. $20. $25. $30. $30. Okay, I want to buy good, nice things for my children. Oh, my granddaughter. Woo! So keep it coming. $35. $35. What else do I got? Come on. Let me give you more. Did you say 65? Oh, 45. $45 right here. $45. $50 right over here. $50. Don't let it go back there. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. I'm at $50. Who will give me more? $55. I got $55 over here.
Are you serious?
Do you want to buy it or not? Don't start questioning me. Do you want to buy this thing? $55 is what it's at. $55. Do I hear 60? $60 right here. $65. $65. Do I hear 65? 65. I'll decide when it's going. 65. We can just stay here all night, folks. 65. $60. You at 60? You at 60? Don't let Marv walk home with this for $60. Do I see a hand right there?
Yeah, sure.
How much?
$65.
There we go. Anybody going to beat 65? That's it, huh? I'm not selling it for 65 bucks. Not going to do it. All right, I want to ask a question. How is the value of that determined? How are you determined, huh?
How bad somebody wants it.
Are you guys looking at the wood here? Are you looking at the tiles? You want to see the backing on it? You know, it's backing. It's on a piece of plywood on the back. Are you looking? Is that how you're looking at it? Because if you are, you're never going to be able to buy it from me. Because the problem is that this piece right here, first of all, it was made about 55 years ago by my parents. By my parents, my mom and dad. Their first year that they were married, they made this. And I recall this growing up in the house. And this is one of my favorite heirlooms. That, in fact, I don't even know if I have a more favorite heirloom. This is it. I found this in the garage. It's been a while now. Probably 10 years ago, or maybe 15, I don't even remember. It was kind of beat up. The grout was missing. The tiles were missing. The wood out here was all destroyed. And so I saw it, and I told my mom, oh, Mom, I'd love to have that. And she let me have it. So I refurbished it. I tried to make it just like it looked back when they originally did it. And to me, that is priceless. So your little $60, Marv, you know what you can do with your $60. Because to me, it was priceless. So I want to say a couple things about value. One, value is very personal. It's very personal as to what is truly the value of an item. Giving value is also a choice. You know, I choose to make this priceless. I choose to not give it to Marv for $60. That is a choice of mine. I could have the attitude that I really don't care what my parents made. So what? Throw it on the trash heap. I don't care what they made. I could have that attitude. But I don't. I choose to say, you know, this represents something to me. This holds value, and it goes back to the personal. It's personal to me, and it holds value because I choose to allow that to mean something to me, and so it has value to me, and that is my choice. So I give it the value that it has. Another thing, value gets demonstrated by my actions. For example, I keep this in my dining room, and I don't let the dog chew on it. I don't let people come around and mess with it. And in fact, you stay away from it. Okay? So I treat it well. If I were a king, I had something of value, I may lock it up and put it in my castle where nobody can. I might put guards out so nobody could steal it, right? So things of value get treated accordingly. Another thing is value is limited by ability to pay. So on the open market, this was worth $60, or at least on the Harvest open market, it was worth $60 because that's all that Marv has. You got 60 bucks. If you had a lot more money, I said it's priceless. But the fact is, I don't have $1 billion, $1 million. I may not even have $150 to dedicate to that. So I can say it's priceless. But the fact is, the value is worth whatever your resources say that you have
to give it. I could even say it's my life, but that's my limit, is it's worth my life. I can't give any more than that if my life is worth more than my bank account, okay? So you can only say something's as valuable as the person that's willing to pay, and they have the ability to pay that amount. Like you said, it's what they're willing to pay, and they have to have that ability to pay. They can say all day long, I'll give you a million, but if they don't have but a thousand, then it's only worth a thousand. So let's turn this around for a minute, and let me ask you, what is your worth? And when you start thinking about what your worth is, in what terms do you start thinking? And I think this is a huge problem with all of us, is that we think our worth is based on our functionality, the things that we do, what our talents are. That's what we think our worth is. We think it's maybe on our salary. Us men get really trapped in our salary, thinking that that's what our value is. We get trapped in the idea that it's maybe our net worth. If we go to church and we have a good attitude, and we might think, well, it's because I'm a good father. That's the value. It's important that I'm a good father. It is important, but is that how you determine your value? Or even being a good wife, mother, or parent of any sort, is any of that truly what your value is based on? Is it based on even your morality? Is it based on your role at church? Sometimes we might think it's based on our Bible knowledge or even our spirituality. But is that really what our value is based on? Is it based on these functional things in our life? I don't think so. And here's why. God is the one that gives us value. And let's go back to the things that I mentioned. I mentioned that value is personal. We're personal to God. We're not just worth to Him the functional aspects of who we are. If that's all that we have to offer God, I don't think He's that interested. I think that He says, you know, I can get what you have. I can make another one of you if I wanted to. That's not hard for me. I care about you as a person. I care about Bob. I care about Marv. I care about Steve. I care about people. That's God. I care about people. He chooses to give us value. He doesn't have to, but He does. He chooses that you have value because I care about you. God is what does that for us. He demonstrates by His actions. He sent His Son to die for us. He provides heaven for us. He says He wants us to be the adopted sons. And furthermore, He has the ability to pay. He is not limited in His ability to pay. So He can offer us eternal life, and He can deliver. So He is not held back. So our value is what God says our value is, because He's the highest bidder. He gets us. So our value is unlimited because God loves us with that kind of unlimited desire to have us for with Him forever. They always say it's not what you know, but it's who you know. And I think that couldn't be more true when it comes to our relationship with God. Our value is because we know God. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because He loved us first. So let's turn this around for a minute. So God has given us this immeasurable value. And because of that, when we come to the point in our life where we start realizing, wow, I have this unbelievable value because God loves me. He was willing to do all these things for me. He wants to be with me forever with Him in heaven. He wants a relationship that'll last forever. He wants all these things with me. It causes us, as we really grasp that, to love Him in return. But the only way we're really able to do that is that He loved us first. And then we turn around and love Him back. It says in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, Jesus said to him, And it was to a lawyer who was kind of questioning Jesus. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And that commandment makes complete sense when we, just for a minute, begin to comprehend how much He loves us as people, how much He chooses to give us value, how much He's decided that He's going to give for us. And when we begin to think about that, this kind of passage should be really no problem when He gives it as a command, that we are to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. And we think, well, what does all of our heart, soul, and mind mean? I think it means everything. I don't think so much they're trying to articulate the different ways, although you can go about it. But I think it means everything. It means all of your affections. It means all of your emotions and desires. All of them. Every single affection that we can have, God wants us to place it on Him. He wants us to go to bed thinking about our relationship with Him. He wants us to wake up imagining Him forever in paradise. He wants us to enjoy that, to have emotional feelings about that. He wants our thoughts and our ideas to be centered around Him. He wants our trust and all of our hopes to be completely in Him. He wants all of us. He wants everything. And that is not much to ask when we consider again that our value is very limited when we think about what we are functionally. We are just human people with a set of abilities, and that's it. And yet, He has given us this immeasurable worth because He's chosen to give us that value. Matthew 22, 39, and 40 goes on. So He told us to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind in 37, 38. So here He goes, He continues. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Or let me say it again, just with a different inflection. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. So Jesus just spoke two commandments. One, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And the second, to love our neighbor as ourself. These two go together. They are necessarily related. We really shouldn't even separate them in our minds. They're very much connected. And the reason they're connected, we get a good idea when Christ is speaking to Peter. Listen to what He says in John 21, 15. He says, then when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these do? He replied, yes, Lord, You know I love You. Jesus told him, feed My lambs. Jesus said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? He replied, yes, Lord, You know I love You. Jesus told him, shepherd My sheep. Then Jesus said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? Peter was distressed that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love Me? And said, Lord, You know everything. You know that I love You. Then Jesus replied, the final and third time, then feed My sheep. You see, like we are saying, you cannot separate the first and the second most important commandments. Jesus said, love Me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And He said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what He's saying to Peter. Peter, if you love Me, then love My sheep. Love the people that I love. If you love Me, you'll do that. Here at Harvest, our purpose is loving God and loving others. That is what we call it, our vision statement. And that is really our purpose. That is what we're here for. And I think that we need to all understand in the Christian life that it's not about all of these other side issues that somehow can take on a life of their own. And pretty soon we feel like the Christian life is how much we learn. We think that it's, I don't even want to go into it all. Whatever it is, if it's not this, this is the core, the central. There is no center part of living the Christian life than loving God and other people. That is the core, and that is our purpose here at Harvest. Now, oftentimes, we will say, and I hear, and you probably hear, okay, well, I don't know, how do I love somebody I don't know? That's just, I don't get how to do that. I don't love, I don't love somebody I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Or how do I love somebody I really don't like? I really don't like them. How am I supposed to love them? Or how do I love someone that I think is really in sin? I think that they are doing things that I really should not associate with them. So I don't see how it is that I can possibly love those people that are doing such bad things. Or how can I love somebody who has hurt me deeply? Isn't that just kind of church talk? Does it really make sense that I can love someone that has hurt me to the core? Does that make sense? So all of these questions I've heard many, many times over. And so not even so much in theory do I hear them, but I hear them in practicality. I hear them just when we're talking. And such and such did something, I can't forgive them. I don't even like them. I'm not. And so the last thing that's on most of our minds is to love the people that we either don't like, we don't respect, they irritate us. The last thing we want to do. How about the lady in line that cut in front of me? You expect me to love them? They just cut in front of me. Here is what I think can make a huge difference in the way that we go about trying to carry out the concept that we are to love people as stated by Jesus Christ. That we need to clarify in our mind and in our heart their value to God. Because it's very different when we look at somebody and we, in our mind, because we don't like them, we have lowered their value in our mind. And we don't feel like it makes really much difference how we treat them. You know, they're kind of a frustrating person to everybody else. You know, it really doesn't matter how we treat them. Just whatever. Just deal with them. Right? We'll just deal with them, and then most of us can relate to that. I mean, it's nothing new. We do that every day, pretty much. We deal with people. We're not really getting that person has value. And when we do, it can change how we seek to carry out God's command to love others as ourselves. Remember, how we treat others is how we are treating God. Do you believe that? Now, certainly we don't believe it when we shrug somebody off like I just described. Certainly we don't agree with that when somebody snaps at us and we snap right back. We don't think, well, I wouldn't talk that way to God. Or if we cut in line, or whatever it is that we do to treat somebody less than loving, we would not treat God that way. And yet, according to Matthew 25, that is how God sees it. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not receive me as a guest. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they too will answer, "Lord, When did you see hungry? When did we see you hungry? Or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in a prison, and did not give you whatever you needed? That never happened to me. Jesus was never in my life. I don't know about you, but I've never run into him. I would have treated him perfectly if I would have run into Jesus. Then he will answer them, I tell you the truth, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. So Christ is not mincing words. He is saying how you treat people, I consider how you treat me. The problem is that we don't view other people really as God's people, as people God loves. We understand that God values us, but do we understand that God values them just the same way? That God values you personally. Now, I spend a lot of time thinking about God loving me. I don't spend as much time thinking that God specifically loves you or you. And so when I treat you, I treat you very functionally. Like you're coming into my life, and I treat you kind of like I would a stop sign. If you say something, I have to stop and talk. And then if it's a yield, then I can go by. Or if you have something for me to eat, then I come and eat it. But for the most part, I don't think of you in the same way that I dwell on myself. Where God, I want so much to believe I'm important, so I think about how valuable I am to God. I dwell on that. And that's important that we do that. But we also need to dwell on the fact that every single other person has that same value to God. That you are personal to God. That he is choosing to give you value. He gave you value. He's choosing that. And that he's demonstrated that towards you just like he demonstrated it to me. He came and died for you, and he has the ability to deliver. Somehow I missed that. Over and over and over again. And yet, it is absolutely true. When we are in the line at the grocery store, God loves that person ahead of us to where he sent his son to die for that person that's standing in front of us. He absolutely loves them. We are standing next to somebody who God gave his son to die for. They're not just another person in our way. They are someone hugely, hugely, immeasurably valuable to God. Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. There it is, all together. Those two commandments go hand in hand in this passage. And we need to understand that we are valuable far beyond our functions, but that same value applies to those people that we know. You know, the thing that really strikes me is how we will treat the children of our friends, or how we expect our friends to treat our children. I think Marv expects me to treat your kids well. You expect that. And you know what? I would expect you to treat mine well. Do you think God might expect us to treat his people well? Even the people that don't believe in him yet? He died for them. Even though they haven't believed, he loves them. I don't know. I stand up here guilty as charged. I treat people very much like they're a commodity, like there's billions of them, like they get in the way, and that is wrong. Absolutely wrong. I'm hoping that we can constantly remind ourselves that God loves and values every single person that we interact with every single day. There are no exceptions. There is nobody ever that we can run into that God does not love, that God did not send His Son to die for, that He doesn't want to live with Him for eternity. Now, if you're here today and for whatever reason you've never experienced a relationship with the God that loves you this much, it's beyond important that you have a relationship with Him. It is our eternal life we're talking about. It is our destiny to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in a relationship where He loves us, where we're adopted sons. And I pray that if for whatever reason you've gone this far without developing that relationship with God, or maybe you feel like you've made that decision, but you've never moved beyond that, I challenge you to take that step. Don't leave here tonight close to relating to God at a deeper level and then getting in your car and turning on the radio and forgetting what it is you were thinking about. That's so often what we do. So I'm just going to pray. And whether you've never made a connection with God, or if you've been relating to God for 50, 60 years, let's pray to God and seek a deeper relationship with Him. Let's seek to understand how much He loves us, how much He also loves all of the people in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, we apologize for not loving the people that we run into every single day, even our own family members, our own children, that we don't love the people that You love, that we don't love the people You've put in our charge, that we don't love the people that You died for, Lord. And Lord, for those who have not maybe made a connection with You, I pray with them. I pray that, understanding that I'm a sinner, I want a relationship with You. I understand that You died on the cross for my sins, and that I can live with You forever and ever and ever by putting my trust in You. And Lord, for all of us, as we walk each day in our lives, that we will treat each and every person the way You would have us to treat them, which is to love them with all of our hearts. And Lord, most of all, that we would love You with everything that we have within our bodies, everything in our minds, everything in our souls, that we would commit every pursuit, every emotion, every expectation, I just don't even know how to put it, Lord, where we can dig deep enough to express our love for You. I just pray that we will desire to do that every single day we will wake up seeking to relate closer to You. In Your name, amen.